few days ago, I was doing some extra reading for the work of Catholic Action. Catholic Action being that grace of helping us more and more to not only learn ourselves the important principles of our faith so that we can re-inspire and fulfill ourselves within those particular points, but also we can help and pass on to others, especially in times when questions come up and things like that. In this particular point, I was looking at what Pope Pius XII had to write and to teach on two papers that he wrote at two different times on the subject of democracy. This came up largely at the point of World War II, and he wrote the first one and addressed it to the Italian clergy because having come through the dictatorship that they did and that a symbolism of democracy, at least that was being talked about, was something that he wished to address. And then the other one was something he later on, a few years later, wrote to the clergy of the United States and explained about, you know, their work that is here in the United States and continued them to there, but also living under the government by democracy, how it can be helpful, how and also can some of the dangers and shortcomings that could be there. He praised the concept of democracy insofar as the church is allowed through that to operate. The concept there of democracy allows something of freedom, and so the church can be worked as semblance in some ways a point of freedom, and yet he also gave a warning of certain dangers that come up with it. One danger, he says, that's particularly worrisome is a loss of belief that can take place that all authority comes from God. In the system of government, especially monarchy, and mostly at that particular point, the way the king or queens have been crowned by members of the church and just showed that authority comes from God, and even at those upper levels in government, that was recognized, and everything that was done was based on that. But the potential danger, as he was making of it then, and I think we can see it well enough in our own time, is that more and more if we say that all authority comes from the people, given by the people to the leaders, well, we said because people can be guided by whims and fancies, and forgetting that only all the true authority comes from God, who is the supreme authority of all man, all creation. And so therefore, all government has to be based upon God. Even though maybe a democratic elections and things of that nature, still, God has to be the one that rules. And yet we see in wherever those points of democracies are, more and more it's just going away from that. It was a warning that the Pope gave in both of those letters that he wrote, just saying, this is the potential for problems here. Keep praying for your people and for your governments that they don't lose those ideals. The next thing he also prayed for, gave a warning of, is that more and more the laws that would come out or the exercise of authority that's based on the will of the people can be based or can be following in such a way, as I just mentioned, that losing the concept that God is in all authority and saying the will of the people can change it, then different laws, referendum, congresses, you know, assemblies there and state governments or whatever, they can start to make changes, and as people more and more will drift away from God, then the way they rule and the laws that are made will reflect that. I mean, witness the various laws that have come up now, approving of in every way of gay rights, gay marriages, what we had in our own state here, of euthanasia and so many different things like that that go against the very natural law, if not also the commandments of God. And yet, these are all supposed to be based upon the will of the people. Well, the will of people is not always, in just about every circumstance, unfortunately today, the will of God. And again, this is what the Pope is warning about. He also warned about a particular slogan that would come up in the time of democracy. The slogan being that times demand a change. As we advance in time, the slogan gives the idea here, then it's just right that man will change, and so laws will change, the effect of things, even viewing toward God will change. Those are the dangers that come from it. Yes, we can operate somewhat freely, although they start to worry at some particular point laws are going to be made of being hate crimes. They said what I just said about gay marriages and homosexuality, saying that from the pulpit, they're going to try and make that as hate speech and make that the point they're going to be arrested. The laws aren't too far away from that. They haven't done it yet, but too many people continue to talk about it more and more. It can come to that. Why? Because the time have changed. We've become a people that have, more enlightened, more evolved, more idealistic or something like that. We're not trapped in the dark ages and now have come more to light. All those ideas that would say that time demands a change. I mentioned this, too, in contrast with what St. James tells us in his epistle today. when St. James is speaking to us about how every best gift and perfect gift comes down from to us from above, that God the Father has given us his Son, and then the Holy Ghost will also come in that way to enliven and strengthen the church. He is saying here that one of the qualities of the Holy Ghost coming and strengthen the church and being there to enliven, to be part of it, to make sure that the church of Jesus Christ that he had founded will not fail, that will always remain strong and infallible in its teachings. He sums it up in just these two ideas. He says, in which there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Imagine this. St. James is bringing this as the great quality of the church. The confidence that we can have in the church is in its consistency. There is no change. The gospel, the doctrine that has been taught from the earliest times is what is taught again today and continues to be so. In fact, it's always been that if we find any teachings that go contrary to the apostolic teachings, anyone comes along and teaches something that we know is not part of that apostolic teaching it's been faithful to for centuries, we have to reject it as change. Not change with enlightenment, not change that says, well, the times have come and we can change these particular points. But since in God there is no change, in his teachings there will be no change. Not only not no change, but the terminology is important here, what St. James says. Not even a shadow of alteration. Not even a shadow of it. Not even a small point in which there would be an alteration, a change, that would come up to be something that is different. If nothing else, we'll say about the Catholic Church, if it's being founded, you know, by Christ himself and enlivened by the Holy Ghost and protected in that way. If nothing else we can say about the church, there is this consistency. A consistency is such a quality that's important for us in our spiritual lives. In areas where we are not consistent, where we're up and down in praying and not praying and having all of these emotions and feelings and things of that nature, when we're failing in consistency in our own lives, that's when we start to fall apart spiritually. But one of the confidences we have in the Catholic Church is there is consistency. What it teaches today is the same it was taught before. And if anyone comes along right now to tell us, no, this is what you have to believe, or the times allow for a point of change, we have to reject it. Even a least amount, a shadow of alteration. That's what we have to look at. This is why it's important for us to know and study our faith, why it's important for us to constantly pray to the Holy Ghost for the graces we need to live up to the seven gifts that have been given to us, the strengthening of the virtues of faith, hope, and charity that come with confirmation. And so many other different ways. The Holy Ghost enlivens the church. In God there is no change, not a shadow of alteration. It stands to be true then that the church itself will not change, nor will there be any shadow of a change, shadow of an alteration of something that comes up. The consistency that's found in the church is found in being faithful to the magisterium of the church. Now, let's understand what we mean by the magisterium. Most of the clergy do not make up the magisterium. That's not what it is. Also, the clergy are part of the ecclesia docens, which means the church that is teaching. We take the truths that are brought to us in the magisterium of the church and bring them forth. But the magisterium is not just the living pope, and that's a great mistake so many people have. The magisterium is only in the living pope, and then so it can, from pope to pope, that's the only time we have the magisterium. It's not. The magisterium is the pope, yes, but the sum total of all the teachings that are there with the authority of the church, the church herself approves, the fathers, the doctors of the church, the councils, her approved theologians, and that's an important part there, approved theologians. It takes a lot to become one of those at that particular point. The church gives her direct approval to all of these particular ones there. They, in their sum total of their teaching, which there is no change, no shadow of alteration, they have an authoritative point, and the more that we follow those teachings and guide our lives by them, then we are following the magisterium of the church. That's where our consistency is. It's a short list of who these part of the magisterium is. Not every clergy member, and say today, there is no one living person today who is part of that magisterium. Don't get me wrong. The ones that we have above us, and clergy, and things like that, we are there, we obey them in the spirit of the fourth commandment, obedience. But just because they're not part of the living magisterium of the church, the authoritative teaching part in that particular point, that doesn't mean that we can just willy-nilly disobey them in every way. The clergy, bishops, priests that we have for today, It's our job, our duty here, to make sure that with no change or shadow of alteration, the teachings of the Catholic Church, being presented since the time of the apostles, is consistently brought forth. That's our duty. But we're not part of a magisterium where we can say, what, in the spirit of the times, that we can make some changes here, that the church would have made these changes under different circumstances, even though there's no magisterial authority I can go to right now, somehow, some way. I, as a priest or someone as a bishop or whatever, has the authority to make those particular changes and do so because of the spirit of the times. That's scary thinking at that particular point. Because again, first of all, there is nobody here who is truly a part of that living magisterium of the church. It is our job, our obligation to follow all the magisterial teachings, and there are many, covering all the subjects that we have, in patience and loving endurance. You've often heard me say that God will not bless us for the restoration of authority in the church to get past this whole confusion of things and times that have gone on. That God will not bless us because we are not consistent in following the church. Far too many say, well, in the spirit of the times, I can make this excuse. In the spirit of times, this doesn't apply today. Canon law isn't that important right now, especially in this area. So I can make this change as if I have an authority to do that, to make a change. For everything from the conservative Novus Ordo people who will say that there can be altar girls in the church, well, because, you know, well, it's come through. It fits. It's the times that we are. Women have to have more rights and be able to do things like that. So we're going to follow according to the times in that area, even to the point, even in some conservative circles, even among people of a traditional movement, there are questions and changes that take place in law and even in parts of morality, and unfortunately even in some points of dogmatic teaching, all because of the spirit of the time. Again, back to St. James, he says, the consistent thing, what we look to in the church, there is no change, no shadow of alteration. No way to come along and justify a point of change in me because, well, it's the time. I don't have anybody else go in authority, and the church would have done that. We've never let the church be governed that way. In fact, when people tried to do that during the Great Rest and Schism back in the 1400s, they were condemned for it. We don't govern ourselves by the spirit of the times because, as St. James even reminds us about, and even in the gospel story of today, our Lord is reminding us about the point of the judgment that comes upon the world itself. And that spirit of the world, which is a spirit of change. We run the risk of being called traditional modernists because the modernist whole idea is change. Change, change, change. It's a point of evolution of dogma, evolution of thought, evolution of these things. We run the risk of going in that direction if we're not careful today. People say they're a traditional Catholic and assume to themselves, unfortunately, an authority that is not there. And as long as they keep assuming that, then God won't bless our work. But once we become patiently obedient to God, following his laws, experiencing the sting of what it means to say, I'm going to follow these laws consistently, because these are the things that have been given to us by the church who is guided by the Holy Ghost. I will not make a change, nor even a shadow of alteration in them, even though it may cause some difficulty for me. I will not do it, because such is the will of God. Pope Pius IX was so insistent on this area that back in his time, we're talking 150 years ago now, when the Freemasons and the Freethinkers were trying to afflict the church and saying that for them it was saying that it's important that the Pope keeps up with the times. We're not talking about her keeping up with modern technology and things of that particular nature, but keeping up with the times of liberty of spirit and thinking, and don't bind the people here with so many different laws and change laws so things are easier for them, because the church before was too restrictive and things of that nature. Even 150 years ago, Pope Pius IX condemned that. It's in his Syllabus of Errors, the very last one. And sometimes a last thing in an encyclical or other works is something for us to pay close attention to, because the last thing we read, and as we read it, is so strong and forceful in its words. It's this proposition number 80, it says, this is a condemned proposition, that the Pope and the Church should keep up with the spirit of the times. And we have too many people just bypassing that as if that's not important. What the Pope warned us about 150 years ago, we see coming in today. Do not listen to anyone who comes along teaching as if they have some magisterial authority today. We don't. Our job, like I said, as clergy, is to present to you the teachings of the church. And in that way, to teach you all that the magisterium has brought faithfully to us through the centuries. All the things that we need for teaching in our time, the principles and teachings, are there for us. We don't need to follow the restrictions of the world or follow along with the modernists saying we should change according to the spirit of the times. We can't. Don't listen to people who only say their authority is, well, Father said or Bishop said. We as teachers here, as teachers of the faith, it's important for us to be able to cite for you the authority of the things in which we teach. We can't always give in sermons, for example, every citation, but if you question it, we better be able to show you what the citation is, show you where it is, that what we just said from the pulpit is part of church teaching. If we can't, then there's a change there. There's a shadow of alteration, and we can't get involved in that. So it's an important consideration today. Today, in today's Mass, we start the transition of coming from our Lord and his resurrection to the promise of the Holy Ghost coming and the foundation of the church through that, the strength and enliven the church. Church has already been founded upon Peter. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he strengthens the church, comes to live with the church, governs and guides the church. So we always be confident that everything that is taught to us is without error. Guess what we can do for ourselves on this day? Pray that we'll always be obedient to the inspirations of the Holy Ghost and to the teachings of the Holy Ghost as found in his magisterial work. We don't have to be great theologians. The catechisms that are presented to us are, in a concise way, all the teachings that we have are the magisterial teachings. Follow that. Be faithful to that. And you can be guaranteed we're on the pathway and the correct pathway to salvation. Find anyone that deviates from those principles, comes along and says, well, in the spirit of the times, I'm going to change this. Because the church would have, had we had a good and solid authority today. No, we can't live a life by saying the church would have, maybe would have done that. We live by saying what the church has done. And even though we may not have a true magisterial authority today that we can turn to with confidence, we have so many other things and writings and teachings and so forth that we have every confidence in what we need. Trust no one else but to God and all those who will lead you in the proper direction with those magisterial teachings, who are there to follow and teach you in that particular way, who are careful to say that without change or shadow of alteration, this is the truth that must be believed. This is what it is all of us must and should practice for the salvation of our souls. Even though we might be in serious times today, in times of confusion in the church for people, teachings are still there. And God has still gifted people, you know, with us, with people who are over us, clergy, things like that, who are willing and very much able to keep strong in the magisterial teachings, to keep us strong in faith in that way. Attach ourselves to them. But be careful of those out there who assume to themselves an authority they do not have and make changes that are not proper. The Holy Ghost would never allow that to be. Because the Holy Ghost is in the church to keep us from any change or a shadow of alteration. Pray for that grace to be stronger day by day in our love for the church, for the love for her teachings. Make those teachings our own in every way in our lives. And we can be sure that even in times of temptation or in times of other people saying, well, we can do this or we can do that, the times allow for it. We won't go along with it because we know there should be no change or shadow of alteration in the church. We know that. The Holy Ghost will keep us strong. The Holy Ghost will keep us filled with his inspirations and keep us always strong to want to be obedient to what his teachings are in the church, how he presents them in every way for us so we don't fail. Pray to the Holy Ghost as we begin this transition now, leading up to Pentecost, to the Feast of the Ascension, and then to Pentecost. Pray beginning now, after the Ascension, we'll be praying the Novena to the Holy Ghost, a more serious preparation for Pentecost and the work of the Holy Ghost within our souls. But as the church begins this transition in her liturgy right now, follow right along with it. Continue now our prayers to the Holy Ghost. So day by day, we'll always be found faithful in all the teachings, everything we need to save our souls and not put ourselves in any danger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.